What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Future Proof. I'm your host, Nate List. You can find me on Twitter at An Outraged Jew. And of course, with me is Alexander McKenzie. You can find him on Twitter at Jacked Up on Mountain Dew. Now, guys, we talked about this on the last episode, this show, and I'm going to continue to reiterate this for the people in the back, including this light that keeps going out. Thank you. This show is going to continue to be more strategy-based, trade-based, amongst all these other things. The other show is going to be more predictive analysis, stat-based, advanced metrics. So there will be a definite difference between the two in the future once the rankings go live at dynastyrankings.com. Again, go over there, put your email in, and we'll have updates for you in the future. We will have a lot more numbers to work from that we can stand behind. In addition to that, we are working on one exciting feature, which I might tease later in the show. But for now, what we want to do on this episode, we're entering the first week of the NFL season here very, very shortly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are deciding what we're going to do with our rosters just prior to the league kicking off. And one big subject has kind of come to light suddenly with an injury to a player that is one of the most consistently productive and considered maybe one of the best receivers in football in Cooper Kupp. And we have this recent injury to him, and a lot of people that play redraft are admittedly upset about it because they invested a lot of, you know, early round capital into a guy that they believe was going to have sustained health. And here we are with an injury before the season has even started, and there's some consideration of how long this injury might go on, which led me to wanting to chat with you a little bit about some of these wide receivers that are currently age 30 or older. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening right now, you're probably like, well, is there really that many? There actually is of notoriety. Like if I list off some, and we're going to get into these, that's Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Okay, by the way, we nudged Stephon and Tyreek Hill like about 2 months there. DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, and of course, Michael Thomas. So there are a number of names here for people that are playing fantasy football. And I wanted to go over some of these names with you and just talk about what people should do with these players, what the future might look like for these players. And then, of course, get down to the contract information behind them, because as we've talked about, that's one of the most truly important variables outside of health. And then we're going to cite some data about injury history, potential re-injury history from somebody that we chat with on social media, and we'll cite his information as well. So first off, Alexander, how are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Not as good as Cooper Kupp's hamstring, but you know, pretty good now, you know, so yeah.
It's one of those things. I mean, if you've played fantasy football long enough, you know that injuries happen. In Dynasty, it's a scary prospect, though, because when we look at a player like Cooper Kupp, we're looking at an hourglass that used to be full of a lot more sand. And we know that the sun is setting on his career. I don't know how many of these I can put together. Let's see if I can get a third cliche in here. But
there you go.
It's one of those things where if you're a Dynasty owner, Kupp is a really tough one because he's already one of the older productive players in the league. We knew that the history of the wide receiver position and the ones that have played the most prolonged careers, and we've talked about this in the past, the Marvin Harrisons, the Jerry Rice, the Larry Fitzgeralds, these were the guys that somehow escaped injury. These were the guys that were able to stay upright, stay healthy, and transitionally in their career, find themselves maybe playing different positional roles to help alleviate some of that injury risk. But we look at a guy like Cooper Kupp currently, and again, I think Dynasty owners are a little shaken by it because it's like, all right, I probably traded for him in a Dynasty league, probably cost me something significant because he's only 30 years old currently, and now here I am faced with a guy who's got this injury going into week one and could miss numerous weeks and missed a majority of the season last year. So what should people do with Cooper Kupp, and what is some of the concern? And I wouldn't worry about some of the information that's currently on Player Profiler. There seems to be some hiccups going on here.
Well, I think the first thing is it's not good. You know, obviously injuries at his age, they get worse over time, obviously. And then we talked about how we're going to reference, you know, someone that's in the space of the injury game and kind of talk about the data points that kind of lead to that. But in layman's terms, basically, it's not good over time. Cooper Kupp, hamstring injury, high risk of re-injuring that, especially with in season, if not every year to year. And then it grows exponentially as they age, especially at age 30. If you're one of those teams that has Cooper Kupp, I think it's best to probably just hold and see how he recovers, whether or not he can, you know, recover quickly and help you out. You're probably banking on him helping you contend towards a championship. I think it's a hold. If you feel that you can get a good seller, a buyer, and you can feel like you could sell it pretty well, then maybe. But I think it's a hold right now, just to see if you can get him back. Otherwise, it's not good. It's not good. I think getting injuries, soft tissue injuries for receivers at 30 years old and over, it's an exponential thing. So, just not good.
And right now, again, market will move fast on keep, trade, cut, but Cooper Kupp at 30 years old was still the wide receiver 16, despite questions around Matthew Stafford, his potential health, what he was going to look like. But here he is in a cluster. I mean, it's really funny. We were talking about this pre-show or when the show kicked off. You got Stephon Diggs at wide receiver 15 at 29.8, so call him 30. Cooper Kupp over 30. Davante Adams over 30. They're all in a cluster. And of course, they're above guys like Jordan Addison and Christian Watson and George Pickens, all players that with great years, if any of these three guys have injuries or diminished production, it's very, very easy for them to fall. It's not even just the conversation about what might happen to these players, what's their re-injury rate? And we'll go look at this in a minute. It's what is the market going to say about these players and how are they going to feel about these players? Because you're either kind of holding them for life in a sense, or you're going to eat an immense amount of value that drops off. Because we're looking at Cooper Kupp's profile right now. Missed 9 games last year. Again, the 17-game season right here that was historic 2 years ago. Then he missed a game here, full season, missed a bunch of games here. I think that was the ACL. Did he tear an ACL?
There's
some stuff missing here right now. He tore an ACL. I believe that was the ACL tear in 2000 and was that? 18 was 18, the ACL tear. There's some data missing right now. But the point is, guys aren't getting better as they get older. But we look at these contracts with these guys, and currently Cooper Kupp is signed through 2026. So it's 23. So you get 23, 24, 25, 26. And we could pull up that contract as well. These guys that are on the list, though, like the ones that I name, is there any one of these particular names of players that stand out to you more than the other? Because I think at the end of the day, what we're looking for here is which one of these players wins in such a way that the re-injury issues aren't going to complicate a bigger part of the game, which is the explosive receiver. So we mentioned Tyreek Hill. We mentioned Stephon Diggs. Some of their ADOT is obviously significantly deeper than a player like Cooper Kupp or what we've even... I think Devontae's actually went up last year but was lower in the past. Like, of this group, who are the players that you are the most likely to go after?
Even though he's probably one of the oldest ones in the group, Keenan Allen's average depth of target is significantly lower than this group. I would like to say Michael Thomas, but he's had significant number of injuries, and he's already at that age level where the compiling of those injuries has an exponential chance of getting more injuries. But Keenan Allen's an interesting one. And then sometimes it's just like if they are good at, these guys historically, if they are, they're good at keeping themselves together and not gaining a lot of injuries in the past, people like Devontae that could maybe potentially transition into the inside and play all over the place, especially with the contract being so huge. Him and Diggs, maybe their contracts are so long and the teams have invested so much money in them. I feel like that it's just one of those situations where the team will try to figure out and transition them to a different area of the field, and then their depth of target goes down. They're less likely to get hit. Maybe they can go and watch some film on Tyler Lockett and have a better idea of avoiding injury.
Well, I mean, look at this. I don't even know if my dynasty league will be around when Stephon Diggs isn't a Buffalo Bill anymore.
Yeah. No, it's a contract that right there. It just tells you Buffalo is going to at least try to keep going with him. You know, 2024 is a big year for him, but yeah, at least until 2024, a potential out. But obviously, look at the dead cap that he would hit. You think Buffalo is going to actually hit 22 mil dead cap?
No, there's no way. No, and that's the other thing too. Yeah. Like sometimes I love Spotrac, but sometimes this dead cap stuff, like nobody's going to eat 22 mil. Nobody's going to eat 31 mil. So he gets down a little more reasonable in 26 when he's 33 years old. Now, I'm not saying Stephon Diggs can't play till 33. Like if I was going to pick a player that's sort of, you know, defeated all odds already, it's Ben Diggs, and he plays with Josh Allen. And he is the guy that I could see his role evolving into maybe more of a slot option or something would change over time, because he's not necessarily winning with just explosiveness. Like a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's been winning with an insane depth of target, an immense target share. That's part of the problem with some of these players too. Like Tyreek can do the most with the least of this entire group, right? Like of the list that we named, and again, I think Keenan's a great name that you brought up too, but Tyreek has been the guy that has been sort of the big playmaker, has seen a lot of volume over the years. I mean, he's still out targeting even Jaylen Waddle, who's 5-6 years younger and is like Tyreek Hill in many different ways. But if we were looking at these players just purely based on contract length, the longest contracts of the group are Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, and Cooper Kupp. I'm fairly confident in Tyreek Hill. I'm assuming you're on the same page.
Yeah, and then the athleticism's still there, right? And again, like he can be used all over the place. He plays inside, outside. They've put him at halfback, which is probably not good for his health long term. But you can put him anywhere, and he has gotten way better as a route runner. And I think that's the key thing here, is a lot of these guys have been noted for their route running ability. Like Stephon Diggs, one of the best route runners in the league. Davante Adams, you can use that route running in inside, outside. If you're putting them inside, depth of target goes down, less likely to get hit or, you know, be smushed between a corner and a safety on a deep route. I think with that being said, you can put those guys in there, and Hill has shown no signs of negative regression.
So keep trade cut, pulling it up right now. Tyreek Hill, not surprisingly, or maybe surprisingly, not sure. Wide receiver 10 overall right now. At 29 years old, I mean, he is far and away, he's at least 3 years older than anybody else that's inside the top 10. And then he's ahead of JSN currently. He's ahead of Drake London, T. Higgins, DK Metcalf. Then we get back into sort of the aged wide receiver group. But right now, he is squarely between an early 2024 first, so call that top four, and between an early 2023 first. Well, I got bad news for you. The league kicks off next week, so your 23 firsts are pretty much fucked. So that's over. That dream's dead. With that being said, though, staring at an early 2024 first with the prospects of top two quarterbacks in May and Williams, and then you've got Marvin Harrison, and then we've got tight ends and other players coming in. But I'm not sure in a super flex format that there is anybody that's giving you that pick right now straight up for Tyreek Hill. Even if Tyreek Hill was averaging 19 fantasy points per game by week 8, they're still not doing it. They're still not doing it, right?
No, because he's 29 years old. And eventually, you know, father time comes for everybody, right? And so eventually Tyreek Hill will regress. We're pretty confident in him, you know, as a player right now in his ability. But again, like, 29 years old, eventually he's going to see regression, and nobody's going to give it up for a 21-year-old star quarterback in a super flex league. So again, he's a monster producer. He's got elite athleticism. It could even be one of those things where, you know, it saps him and he's no longer 4.2. He's maybe 4.4 or whatever, and so on and so forth. But still, even that he's probably not going to see the usage and target share that he gets right now, which could happen early as his 31 year age season. So again, he's a monster producer, monster athlete. But again, it will all come for him, and nobody in their right mind would trade one of those for early firsts for that, especially with the chance to get any of those guys.
If you hadn't seen it and I hadn't told you, and for those of you listening, you don't know this yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving right now, if you're not watching this, how many games has Tyreek Hill missed over the last 2 years? The answer to that question is zero games. He's played 17 games in both of the back-to-back years. So that number one is surprising in itself. But the other part of it is over the last 2 years, those have been the biggest target-heavy seasons of his career thus far. What he was doing with Patrick Mahomes, what he was doing in KC was from another planet. You know, looking at his fantasy points per game on 137 mm-hmm. targets, 20.5 fantasy points per game on 135, 21 fantasy points per game. Like, the guy was putting up, 15 receiving touchdowns, 12 receiving touchdowns, monster production. Not necessarily getting that with Tua. And also, so let's say you are the guy. You're the guy in the league with the biggest balls in the league. You got them. You're walking around. They're in a wheelbarrow, and you show up to the guy that's got Tyreek Hill, and you're like, "Hey, I know my team sucks. I'm trying to compete. I'm going to give you a top four pick." Makes no sense, but you do it. Trade him for Tyreek Hill, then Tua Tagovailoa tears his ACL. How happy are you with that trade now? Right, because that is another like massive change of situation that can take place. So as much as in theory we're hinging it on Tyreek being healthy and Tyreek not losing a step, you can't just put any quarterback in there and expect to get high-end mm-hmm. production, chemistry, all these things. We don't know that Jaylen Waddle doesn't surface and become more of a factor. We don't even know if Jaylen Waddle doesn't level off some of the competition this year, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know the outcome. So I think that's one of the pitfalls of keep, trade, cut, even though we do like it so much. So of these players, I think that Tyreek Hill to me is the most likely guy to continue to be the most productive potentially, like on big play potential, because he does the most with the least, and his contract is one of the three longest contracts of this group. But as you talked about, Davante Adams is the guy that, irrespective of his quarterback, just seems to produce and is a target hog, and he is mm-hmm. signed through 2026.
Yeah, no, again, he's one of the best route runners in the league. That eventuality, he's probably be moved inside, and then still he'll be fantasy relevant for years to come, in my opinion. And he's, the last few years he's had a pretty clean bill of health. He's got elite athleticism, but again, he can be put inside. I think to me, sometimes the teams just kind of tell you what they feel like the player's worth is, and if they're willing to pay them that much money, they won't pay any running backs right now, right? They know the history with running backs, but the Las Vegas Raiders were willing to sign Davante Adams to a 5-year deal at age 29. So what does that tell you? And maybe they are ridiculous and don't know what they're doing, but again, look at how many games is that? What, like 3-4, what, maybe 6 or 7 games in the last
what, missed?
Yeah, how many total?
Yeah, he missed 1 game 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 2 games the years before that. So I mean, yeah, he's missed probably 6 or 7 games over the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, that tells you that he's working out in the offseason, keeping his body right, and trying to make sure that he can last the entire season. And I think that's why, Las Vegas was confident enough in giving him, that monster contract. And they could be going and trying to be big spenders just so they can get one of the best weapons in football. But I tend to believe that the teams are more confident just based on history. They're probably looking at the same information we are. They're saying, wow, look how productive he is. How many games he's actually playing, right? And probably Miami's did the same thing when they traded for Tyreek and signed him to that massive deal. So these teams aren't stupid. They're not going to make bad contracts. I mean, running backs are just not getting any contracts, but these older wide receivers are getting these long-term big money deals. And again, because it's a passing league. So, and if it's a passing league and we spread it out more often too, these guys, again, they could be put inside and their average depth of target goes down. They're less likely to get hurt. and especially if they've kept a clean bill of health up to this point, there's no risk of re-aggravation of any, you know, significant injuries.
Yeah, he's got to be the guy amongst this group to me that, you know, I have the most confidence in. And, you know, the other part of it too, I was just pulling up some of the stats here. It's week 17, he had Jared Stidham at quarterback. And again, this was without Derek Carr against San Francisco, 11 targets, 7 catches, 153 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Guys, it doesn't matter with Davante Adams. That's the thing. Like, number 6 in EPA, top 8 in yards per route run. Don't love that metric, but if we look at formation adjusted yards per route run, much better metric, top 10 in that. So he's just one of those guys that I think is going to age Larry Fitzgerald-esque. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that we're going to look up in a couple of years, and he's still going to be playing in the league. He's still going to be playing at a high level. And for the teams that are, you know, for the contending teams that are looking to add a stud, well, he was previously going for a mid-23 first. So you're out of quarterback range there. Mid-24 first. Again, like, that could be 108, 109. I realize today, I don't love trading my future picks, but Davante is an absolute lock to be productive for, I mean, I will confidently say, if healthy, I truly believe the next 2 to 3 years, like, still very high-end production. What he's going to do at 34, what he's going to do at 35, I have so many questions about. But the player that we've seen over the last 2 years has still been one of the most dominant receivers in football, irrespective of who is throwing him the ball. And that, to me, might be one of the biggest indicators. Like,
well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, it's great to be good with an elite quarterback. And everybody goes, you know, it's always so funny how it's the inverse. Quarterback X wasn't great until he got receiver Y. But it's like, guys like Davante, guys like DeAndre Hopkins in the past, they've dominated with shit quarterback play. That has to mean something, right?
That has to mean something. And again, the clean bill of health, and then the mid 2024 first and the mid 2023 first, there's a significant tier drop off most of the time. And again, it depends on draft, obviously, right? With these, you know, this one upcoming with the, you know, two, big time quarterback prospects and Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. These first round picks, the tier drop off after pick 3 is significant. And then there's another tier usually within the middle there. But again, it's draft class to draft class, but through the data, it's usually there's a tier drop off after that early round. And so you're kind of risking your chance to potentially, you know, go all in and potentially win a championship. Cause sometimes it's nice to have the, you know, uber talented young receivers that still haven't hit yet. But sometimes if you just want to win a championship, you should be trying to leverage your bets and make a calculated risk and get players like Davante Adams, just so you can try to win now.
There was a lot of teams, I'm sure, that were contending rosters that were sitting at 109, 110 this year. And they were faced with the Zay Flowers, Quentin Johnston opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about Davante Adams right now. And I love Zay Flowers, but Zay Flowers' ceiling, I really do question if his target opportunity is ever more than 125 targets in a season. Right. I mean, that's probably a fair estimate.
It is. Todd Monken or not, I mean, this Lamar still the quarterback, just signed a brand new extension. If you stop using Lamar as a rusher, then you're not utilizing his full skill set properly. And so I highly doubt that their pass attempts exceed more than what they have. They'll probably exceed a little bit how they've done historically, but I don't think it's going to be to the point where you see Zay Flowers having the same amount of targets that Davante has.
Well, and the other side of this too is there's probably somebody in their car that just jerked themselves into another lane hearing that. But the fact of the matter is they're going to go, well, you know, Lamar Jackson has to stop running at some point and start throwing more. And it's like, show me a quarterback that was as mobile as he is in history that stopped running and started throwing. You're not going to find one. And if you do, you're going to like try to like dig all the way back to some like Steve McNair thing, or I don't even know. Like, but by the time they stop rushing, they're so much older as a player and probably more injury riddled, and probably like Lamar Jackson at 34 is going to be banged up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And so The idea that, no, I'd prefer the guy that I'm going to wait 7 years on because then Lamar's going to throw more than he does now. It's like, it's a bad idea. And I love Zay Flowers, but the cost to get into Davante Adams. And again, it's the two worlds. And I can't tell you definitively which one happens. Does Zay Flowers take off and become a 145 target receiver annually? Or does Davante Adams play 3.5, 4 more years at an incredibly high-end level? Because Jerry Rice had a 1,000-yard season when he was 40 or 41 even. So with that being said, I can't tell you which of the two is going to take place, but I can tell you with certainty that I've seen Davante be elite. And I can tell you with certainty that I've seen Lamar Jackson run a lot. And I can tell you with certainty that nobody knows anything about Zay Flowers. And I can tell you with certainty that Mark Andrews is probably still the primary option. I say certainty, then I say probably, but I'm fairly confident to say that Mark Andrews is still going to be the straw that stirs the drink in an offense with Todd Monken that ran like a 40% tight end, you know, double tight end set all his time with Georgia. So it's a difficult prospect, but this is the thing that people are going to be faced with some of these aging receivers. And that puts us in the same conversation as a guy like Stephon Diggs. Again, at 2027 is when his contract is up. That's so many years. And he's been so great, and his opportunity has been so good. But you slide down the scale, and if we're talking about like the potential and we're talking about the contract, Keenan Allen is the guy that, well, he's signed through 24. So you get what? Yeah. Two more years of Keenan, but you were getting a mid-second. So that's putting you in the conversation of Jaden Reed, who we like, but how many wide receivers haven't fired? That puts you in the conversation of Josh Downs, puts you in the conversation of Marvin Mims. Again, we like Marvin Mims, but on the last episode when we talked about him, we also weren't like jumping out of our, you know, jumping for joy over the fact that he was going to be a 170 target guy. Like, I don't know if that's the range of outcomes for him either. So a guy like Keenan Allen, there's a ton of value there. If you make a future trade, like a mid second next year, guys on rebuilding rosters, if they have these players, they're looking to ship them, right? I mean, that's generally the idea. They're looking to rebuild. They might think they've got an opportunity to contend. They might try to do so. But by like week 3, 4, 5, when they're 1-4, when they're 2-5, guys like Keenan Allen, guys like Michael Thomas, guys like Mike Evans. I was on Dynasty Trades in 5. We talked about Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a perfect example, and here he is right down here, of a guy that you just fire a future second for if you want like an auto lock 1,000-yard receiver for the most part. Now, of course, Baker Mayfield is an immense concern, like the greatest dark cloud ever. But even now we're hearing rumors that Mike Evans could be on the move, or we don't know what his future is with Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. And again, Mike Evans, again, historically, same thing with Davante, just significantly good production in consecutive years. And again, the contract is like, the potential out for him in 2024. And then there have been rumors that potentially they could be, he could be a trade candidate for, a contending team. But again, by week 4, 5, the teams that are going to try to see if they can do anything with these players are going to have a hard time if they don't have the depth or the talent on the roster.
And look, I know some of these metrics are subjective when we talk about total route wins, right? This isn't this isn't currently being measured by GPS. This isn't being measured by like video analysis via AI. But you look at his information right now, total route wins last year, number 11 at the position, and then go up to the top, total routes run, number 6 in the NFL. So ran the 6 most routes overall, won the 11th most routes. Now, obviously, that's going to be the case right there. Route win rate, number 45. There's 2 wide receivers on every team. Routes first man, though, number 4 in the league. So that's another thing, too, that's going to make it a lot more difficult to win routes. But then we look at his EPA that was top 12 in the league last year. So we're ushering out of the running back era, and we're also, in many ways, ushering out of a very productive and valuable wide receiver era that we've had at our disposal for many years. Mike Evans is, on the Mount Rushmore of this era that's being ushered out. But these are the guys that I think that we should consider chasing. Now, We did earlier in the episode talk about an article that we wanted to cite, the real Adam underscore H on Twitter, Adam Hutchinson at Football Guys wrote this article, and he had hit me up in the DMs because he had heard me talking about injury history and at positions. And so he goes, hey, if you want to look at some in-season data, this is really good. Now, admittedly, this is more of a redraft tool, but this does talk about odds to play 17 games, odds of re-injury. And with guys like Cooper Kupp looking at the wide receiver position, wide receivers, the odds to play 17 games from the jump was 18.4%. So that's already like a fairly high risk. Odds to play 12 games, 84.5%. Running back odds to play 17 games, 10.3%. You've got these guys like Mike Evans that are just consistently healthy for the most part. Mm-hmm. Keenan's had injuries early in his career. Devontae's been healthy. Tyreek has somehow managed to be healthy. It seems like if you're going to put value into these assets, why not also put it into guys that are signed for a long time, getting big opportunity and staying healthy? It's hard to predict what the injuries are going to be. This article that we're citing here, though, is predicting the odds of the potential of it. So again, Mike Evans would be held to this same structure here, 18.4% chance that he does play in 17 games. But really, with a guy like Mike Evans, if you're getting the ceiling, you can afford to see him miss a game or two throughout the year, as long as he's not doing it to you when it counts in the playoffs. And that becomes one of the hardest things, because that's at the end of the year. So after they've played a full year of football, your fingers are crossed, like, I hope to God he's here when it counts at the end. But of all these guys, which one, which, if you had to pick one right now, Nerf gun to the head, if you had to pick one of these guys based on contract, based on talent, based on situation, based on keep, trade, cut, market value, who's the player that you would push your chips in on that you would be willing to take the risk on?
I just think Devontae Adams. I think he can play with any quarterback, you know, and so I feel confident in trading for him, especially a mid first round. And we talked about the receivers that you could replace potentially if you would have kept the, you know, draft pick. Yeah, Devontae Adams to me feels like he's quarterback proof, and he's got a massive target share in that offense, and there's nobody of consequence other than maybe Jacoby Myers a little bit, but you know, that's what we were supposed to hear about with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and stuff like that. And I know they had injuries and stuff like that, but I think to me, Devontae's the guy that would, that could last like very long time.
If there was anybody else that I was going to pick from this list, when we're talking about value, this guy is neck and neck with him in terms of where they're valued on keep, trade, cut. Contract's a little longer. For me, Stephon Diggs is right there with him as well. Like, he's got the quarterback play. He's got the volume. We've seen him be a super high producer as well. Again, top 11 in EPA, top 3 in yards per route run. Like, those two guys to me, lengthy contracts, age players. Shockingly, on keep, trade, cut, both of these guys are sitting where I think they were sitting relative to a mid-first next year. I think Diggs is just, Diggs is a tick more for whatever reason, not even a tick more. He's 600 points more on keep, trade, cut. So that's a substantial difference between the two, but those would be the two guys to me that I like a lot. I know people are banging their fist on the table right now. Like, what about Tyreek Hill? Jalen Waddle could come out of nowhere for sure. And be a guy that also takes some of that workload, the injury history. And of course, Devontae's proved himself with any quarterback. Stephon Diggs has been great with Kirk Cousins. Obviously, he's got Josh Allen now, but that's also part of the question. Like, some of the Josh Allen ascension, how much of that can we associate to the Stephon Diggs, you know, entry into Buffalo? I think all of those things play a major factor. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest things here are, how much volume did these guys garner? How productive have they been while they have volume? How healthy have they been? And then how long are those contracts? Because of all these guys, Odell is on a one-year deal. Michael Thomas has played, what, like 12 games in 3 years? He's got two years left on his contract, but that's like total dice roll with Olave. Mike Evans, 2 years left on his deal. He's a guy that I really like. I wish the contract was a little longer, but That's why he's also half the price of all the rest of these guys.
Right, right.
Right? So if you're the contender looking to pay something cheap to get into the game, you're looking at Keenan Allen, you're looking at Mike Evans, those kind of guys. If you're the contender that thinks he wants to pony up a little more and maybe you take a later first and you package him with a Josh Palmer, you package him with somebody that's, you know, much further down that list. I know the guys that don't want to deal in Elijah Moore, but who would be in there? Kadarius Toney, a Brandon Cooks, this type. Yep. And then you can go and get one of these guys with the longer contracts, the Devontaes, I don't know if you're getting a Tyreek Hill in that case, the Stephon Diggs possibly. Because again, Tyreek Hill is valued at 6-7 wide receiver spots higher than these guys. Same age group, still existing potential to lose workload, but valued so much higher. And this game that I think Dynasty is shifting to is more about value than ever before over the last year or two. And I think it's going to continue to be that way. And we're seeing it in the running back market the most heavily of late. But I think wide receiver is going to continue to trend that direction as well, where if you're a contender, you're always going to have these guys at the bottom, the Julian Edelmans over the last couple of years that you could just churn that are getting you 16 fantasy points per game. The guys that were Adam Thielen that at age 29, age 30, were getting you 16 fantasy points per game. You can play that game. You have to have a young nucleus, of course. Like, that's always part of the game.
That's the key.
It is. You have to be young enough to have value. But if you want to compete, you can do it with these older players as well. And we looked at a bunch of them today. So I wanted to ask you a question because you had brought this up to me, and it's kind of a fun one to talk about. It's a strategy theory question. And actually, you've got the question in front of you. You ask because you know the context of it.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was talking about, well, you know, we were discussing, you know, Dynasty in general, and he's not really into it. And he was basically talking about how, well, his problem is like, how do you handle teams that are so super top heavy and you just have like, you know, three or four dominant teams? And that's kind of what I brought up to you is like, this is an interesting question because like, how do you get more people into the space if one of the biggest things that makes people upset is that, you know, they have bad injury luck, or a lot of the players that they were believed in kind of didn't hit. How do you handle the teams that are there at the top that are consistently winning, that have these like elite monster rosters? And so, yeah, that's what kind of leaned into you, like, you know, your experience, how do you handle that in all these leagues? And it sort of sounds like it's more of a commissioner question of like, how do you basically, you know, get people more excited in Dynasty?
I mean, my advice would be go down to Home Depot, get a shovel, go in your backyard, dig a 6-foot hole, go lay in it and cover yourself with dirt. I mean, it's one of those things where I play in some really tough leagues. And I had some teams that I just, and this is why the startup draft is so important, because a startup draft can carry you for 3 or 4. You can go 3 or 4 years without even touching your roster in some leagues and be competitive as any team in the league. And that is the head start that you can run with for forever. I have drafted so well in startup drafts over the years by just hitting on the players that I believed in that had upside, the Jalen Hurts, the guys that nobody really was buying into initially. And then you get the young nucleus, the guys that rise up, and you build around that. But in these leagues where you've got 3 to 4 like perennial teams, there's not a lot you can do about it. But as we've discussed, like, Father Time is eventually going to catch up. These teams are short of them making really great trades. And this is where the contenders stay contenders. They're the guys that had Julio Jones at age 28, 27 and a half, 27. And they said, I'm getting out from Julio. I'm going to take my multiple firsts and whatever else, reinvested them. They got lucky and hit. There are draft classes where you unfortunately draft Jalen Reagor, where you unfortunately draft some of these other players that just don't fire. And so you've sold Julio at his peak, and then you don't fire on the players that you grab. And that's how those teams are toppled as well. Or they just hold on to guys and they age out and they're not as productive. Like, there's nothing you can really do about how good they are. You can only help benefit your own team with your own moves. So I've been in leagues, though. So let's go down this road. Rule number one is you just got to deal with it. That's all there is with it. You have to work on your team. You just have to deal with it. You can't, right? You can't do anything about theirs. But I have been in some leagues where it was getting to the point where people were so bothered by it. And again, boo-hoo, I guess. They were so bothered by it that there was a vote in the league to essentially turn it into a 5-man keeper league, do a dispersal draft that everybody redrafted their teams and it was almost like a fresh start with the five players that they kept. And then the league just kind of kept going from there. And yeah, the teams that were contending didn't love it because the biggest pain is most people would be willing to do that. The reason that they're not is because they've made so many moves with future picks. They're excited to draft in 24. They've acquired 325 picks. Like, they've set themselves up to go play the GM game, and they don't really love it. And of course, you've got the guy that's won 3 years in a row, and he's like, I don't want to stop. I'm on fire. But you have five people in the league that are like, well, look, this is bullshit. We can't compete. And it's kind of their own fault. That's why you use a ranking service like DynastyRankings.com, where you can go get expert rankings that'll help you guys play a lot better in your leagues.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like if you change up your process and you listen to people like us that kind of like have a good idea of like player analysis, and we're looking at trends, like we're not always going to be right either, but we're trying to limit the losses here. So we look at profiles of players that we like and analyze them, and then say, okay, well, this guy has a higher likelihood of being an elite, you know, wide receiver, running back, so on and so forth. And this is what the historical trends tell us. And if you can improve that process, and if you're going and you're losing and you're at the bottom of the league, eventually you're going to end up with those top picks, and you'll eventually hit on elite players. The question is like how you handle your team whenever you are contending. I think it's really just the first thing is like kind of reevaluating your process. If you're not hitting on rookies or young players that you love in good situations, then you should try to reevaluate and see what kind of metrics that Nate and Alexander are talking about, or other people in the space that have done this a while. See what kind of like specific metrics to look at, you know, specific athleticism. Even if they're like an elite athlete, sometimes even if they're an elite athlete, they're not a good player at the NFL level. Things like that, and sort of evaluating what metrics stick, what are highly correlated, and then also looking at, like you said, the value where you can get it, and if you build up those teams with those elite young players, then you can have that young nucleus and then infuse it with these older, just steady, consistent producers that can help you push yourself towards that championship.
And that's going to be what we've talked about. That's going to be the goal. Again, there's a spectrum to how this is played. There's fantasy value, there's fantasy points, and then there's something in the middle. A lot of people love the pretty roster with all the names. I'm not going to say what names on here on this episode, I believe, are busts, but there are plenty of busts amongst this rookie group. There are a number of people that are going to watch this episode that are going to go, man, I really paid up for player X. I'm so confident in them. But why are you confident in this player? Like, this is kind of what we're talking about. When you look at what metrics truly correlate, and again, you look at hit rate, if you're a team at the bottom, you don't have a lot of choices. But if you're going to stick in the league and you're going to try to compete, you have to start to get it right. So whether that's exactly like you said, changing up your process or getting assistance from a service that you believe can do that, or playing the value game and starting to spend on guys like Deontay Johnson that you know are going to get target share, you know are going to be productive, but playing sort of that slightly older veteran game. Not the Keenan Allen, Mike Evans game, but playing in that mid-tier Brandon Ayuk, whatever level, to try to get guys that can be productive and sort of maybe give up on chasing the ceiling of what could Jalen Hyatt be, and go get a guy like Deontay Johnson that you know is getting 135 targets, might have a resurgence, whatever. So there's a lot of ways to play the game, but to answer the question of what do you do when there's 3 to 4 good teams in your league, you either roll over or you work to get better. That's it. There is no other option, right?
Yeah. The best way is to try to improve your process and make do what you have. If you have aging assets that, you know, other teams are interested in, try to maximize the value you can get back for it, and then leverage those draft picks into, you know, very good young players that are, you know, good at metrics that actually correlate to producing a high number of fantasy points.
And, you know, the other thing I will say too, like, the cost of entry to a fantasy league is different to everybody. $50 for some people is a lot. $50 for some other people is nothing. Mm-hmm. if you're somebody that's playing in a fantasy league, and let's say it's a $50 league, and in many leagues, that to me is kind of the starting entry fee in a number of leagues. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying leagues that I play in. I mean, just generally speaking, like 25 mm-hmm. is like usually like the, hey, we're a little scratching the game. 50 seems to be kind of like the standard of mm-hmm. annual fee, right? For a yeah. $50 league for most people, why not also be the guy, and I've seen this before, I've seen guys sell out to get into the next year's draft. I've seen them get rid of all their players, build up draft capital, do their best, their team tanks, and they just play like the deep rebuilding game, which for some people can be really fun. I mean, you're going to be out your money, mm-hmm. but you're probably out your money anyways, right? Like mm-hmm. you're not going to win it. And if you just stay there with those assets and the age and you can't sell them, like it's a difficult game. So there's not a lot of ways to play it, but if you're trying to find like the silver lining or the bright side of it, you could be the guy, and I've seen a couple guys over the years do this, and it's worked out, right? Like, if it's a great draft class, and right now we have no idea what 24 necessarily looks like. We thought mm-hmm. we knew what a couple draft classes look like. Then Etienne went back to school, and Najee Harris went back to school, and right, we don't know what these NIL deals are going to do to these players over the next mm-hmm. handful of years. So I think that's really all there is to it. Not a lot of ways around it, so tell your buddy – hopefully he's one of the three or four better teams in the league and he doesn't have to go get that shovel from Home Depot. But otherwise, there's no way around it. And three to four teams are always going to be dominant until Father Time catches up with them, or teams in your league continue to make really bad moves and sort of give these guys the Mario mushroom and let them mm-hmm. trade some player to go get Jackson Smith from you for a first and something. And then the game just starts all over again for the next 5 years. So mm-hmm. anyways, guys, thank you for checking out the episode. I know that this one was a little different, a little less numbers-based. We were going to do some trades in this one, but Alexander and I talked about gathering more of the background information for the trades. I'm going to start taking trades in the Discord. So if you guys have trades that you've made in your league that you want to see broken down on this show, go to the description below, click the link to the Discord, jump in the Discord, and you guys will see where you can submit your trades for us to review. Of course, go to dynastyrankings.com, put in your email. Updates are coming. I teased it earlier. I will say this. Alexander and I are currently in development of a trade calculator that's going to take our proprietary ranking system and utilize it, obviously, for evaluation of players, which we're really excited about. Keep Trade Cuts got a cool one based on crowdsourcing. A lot of guys have their own, but for the amount of time that we've spent on this algorithm and validating the information to be able to then leverage it against deals that people want to make in their league is going to be really, really exciting. And there's one more really exciting piece that I will tell you about that trade calculator, but not on this episode. So that will come up in the future. So again, guys, check out the Discord. Make sure you hit like on this video before you get out of here, and make sure you hit the subscription button as well. Alexander and I are putting out two videos a week. This is obviously the Sunday video. Every Wednesday will be the more stat heavy podcast video for the Dynasty Ranking Show. So again, guys, we'll see you next week. Alexander, once again, fantastic job. Thank you for dropping in and doing the Lord's work. And we will be back on Wednesday with the next Dynasty Rankings podcast. We'll see you then.